Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, thank you guys. You are very, very sweet. I've absolutely felt the love from all of y'all all week long. I can't tell you, it's countless people have told me they've been praying for me all week and loving on me, even right up to the time before I went on worship. And I just want to thank y'all for being here. I mean, they even announced I was speaking and y'all still came. Y'all are good people. I mean, I can tell you. I also want to thank my fan club over here, all my family that came. They're very supportive and loving, and you can't wipe the grins off their faces right now. They're so proud for me, and I love you guys. And then also, can't leave Pastor Spencer out. He has spent so much time pouring into me these last few years and growing me. He may not admit it after hearing me speak tonight, but he's done a lot of growth in me. Growth that has made me a better father and a better husband and a better Christian man, and I'm just so thankful for him. Love you. When he called me a couple of weeks ago and asked me about speaking, I was at work, and when he called me and I went and answered the phone, he asked me if I'd be interested in speaking a couple of weeks ago, and when he said it, obviously my heart stopped and dropped into my stomach, and I probably gave the loud boom through the phone, and he could probably hear it, but he was real encouraging, just like he always is. He told me how much that he believed in me, and that if he didn't think I was ready, then he wouldn't be asking me, so I agreed to it, because how could you say no when somebody talks to you like that? But I agreed to it, and I went back to my desk, and immediately when I got back to my desk, fear and doubt and worry just began to set in on me. As soon as I sat down there, and I was sitting there, I was just thinking, it's like, how am I going to get up and speak? I mean, who am I to get up and speak to you guys? What am I going to say? How am I going to get up and speak for 15 to 20 minutes? What am I going to speak on? And all of a sudden, the Lord just gave me a new revelation. I was sitting there, and I just realized that this isn't my word, that I didn't write this. This is God's word. And he doesn't need me to stand up and defend it or persuade you guys into believing it. He just needs me to stand up and preach it with the power and authority that he's given me. And I know that that's a word for me, but I also believe that's a word for somebody else tonight that may be struggling, you know, for boldness to get out and speak the word to a friend, a family member, a coworker. So with that being said, y'all ready for the word? Yeah. That's the best I got all this time. I ain't preaching to an empty building. Come on now. If you will, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 22 through 26. They should have it. I gave it to them. They should be up there. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. And here, this is where the Apostle Paul lists out the fruits of the Spirit. And starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no such law. And those who are Christ," that's a apostrophe S, "have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Pray with me tonight. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your promises, Lord. We just come to you empty tonight that you may fill us, Father. I come to you weak, but you are strong. And Lord, I just ask that you just use me tonight. Guide my words, Father. I need you in Jesus' name. Amen. In teaching, one of the best ways to remember something is repeating it. So I'd like first for everybody to come together and let's say the fruits of the Spirit. And I'd like a little more, cooperation than that last time. I don't want to have to stop in the middle of it. So let's start if y'all ready. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's important to know these because we need to know the good fruit that we're supposed to be producing. That way, if we're not producing it, we'll recognize it. And if we're producing bad fruit, we'll recognize it. And as I was writing this down, I began to picture someone in the grocery store in the produce section. And if you know anybody who eats a lot of fruit or goes a fruit specialist or a fruitologist, whatever you call it, somebody who likes fruit, they'll go through and they'll be picking through it. They'll be grabbing that stuff, squeezing it, smelling of it, thumping on it if it's a good watermelon. And the reason that they're doing that is because they know good fruit and they know what they're looking for. Yeah. Joy is what I want to be talking about tonight and teaching on. And joy is something that's always seemed to come pretty easy to me. I've never really struggled with joy. I've always been a guy that's sees the bright side in things, glass half full, upbeat. But I do realize some people really struggle to find joy and to keep it. And as I studied, I started by looking up the definition of joy. And in my studying, I realized that there's two definitions to joy. There's the worldly view of joy, and then there's the Christian view of joy. So I want to start with the worldly view of joy first. The world defines joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. A feeling of pleasure and happiness. Let me tell you right now, if we're basing our joy off of a feeling, we're going to be up and down. We're going to be off and on. We're going to be hot and cold. We're going to be a roller coaster of emotions. If we're banking on our fleshly feelings for our joy, our flesh is going to let us down time and time again. Amen. On the other hand, we have the Christian view of joy, and it's defined as this. The gladness of the heart that comes from knowing, experiencing, and entrusting Jesus. In other words, it is the response and the reaction of the soul to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our rock, our firm foundation, a joy that's not going to leave you at adversity, a joy that's not going to turn as soon as trouble comes, a joy that no matter what you're going through or where you're at, you know that God is with you and you're not alone. Is that the kind of joy I want? Okay, good. You're in the right place then. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 15. And we're going to see what Jesus says about it. We're going to take it to Jesus. I don't know how long to give y'all to turn. This is, I don't want that awkward silence where I waited too long. Starting in verse 9, this is Jesus speaking. As the Father loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. As we break this down, I'll start in verse 11. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Joy is what we're after and joy is what we're here to talk about tonight and here to get a hold of in our life. So he says he spoke these things so we can have joy. So let's just look at some of the things that he spoke. We're going to start back in starting at the top in verse 9. It says, as the Father loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. The very first thing that we got to do in this, we got to get that Jesus loves you. I mean, we say it all the time, and we hear other people say it, and sometimes it's hard to get in our hearts that Jesus loves me. He loves you. He sees you just the way you are. You're not hiding anything from him. He sees your flaws, and he loves you anyways. And a lot of times it's easy for us to put that love on somebody else. We can believe it for somebody else, but it's hard to get in our hearts. I mean, Jesus loves the pastor. I mean, of course he does. Look at the guy. I mean, okay, he loves the pastor. Jesus loves children. He loves the homeless. He loves the sinner. But sometimes it's hard for us to get that he loves us. And then when we get that love, it tells us to abide in that love. So let's see how we abide in his love. In verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So let's look and see what he commanded us to do. In verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Man, this is where it gets real. This is where it gets hard sometimes. It gets hard to put that love on people that you don't like or people that you don't agree with, people that aren't like you. So another reason it's so important for us to get that love, we got to receive it first before we can give it. You can't give something that you don't have. So you got to receive that love before you can give it to others. And as I sum this up and just summarize this, we got Jesus commands us to love one another. If we love one another, we will abide in his love. And if we abide in his love, he promises us joy. That's his promise to us. And now that we've broke it down into a 1-2-3 plan, I'd like to give a few real life examples on how to walk this out, because we're not just hearers of the word, we're doers of the word. We got to get the word in our heart and we got to find a way to apply it to our life. And that's what really changes us. I mean, the devil knew the word, but you got to get it in your heart and let it apply and let it change you. And I want to start with myself first. An example, the way that I've seen it play out in my life. One is college football. A long time ago, many, many moons ago, I was a huge college football fan. I absolutely loved college football. I lived it. I breathed it. If I wasn't watching it, I was reading about it. If I wasn't reading about it, I was watching people talk about it on TV. My Saturdays went like this. I would get up and I would watch college game day until the game started, and then I was glued to the TV that whole day until I went to bed that night. I thought that it was bringing me joy, but as we discussed in the opening, my joy was based on a feeling. So guess what? I was up and down. I never was solid. I was letting the game dictate if I was happy or not. It was getting so bad, and I was getting so invested that if my team lost a game or if a game I was watching didn't go my way, I would get upset, and I would get just completely devastated over it. Then it got to where I was getting mad at players. I was getting mad at coaches. I was getting mad at fans at other teams. Right? Absolutely no love for one another. I mean, I'm telling y'all. Finally, I realized that the thing I was looking to for joy was actually still in my joy, and I completely stepped away from it at that point. I blocked my team's website. I deleted apps off my phone. I even had my satellite turned off. And after completely walking away from it, I was able to come back to it, and now I can watch it, but I watch it with a different heart. You know, it's different now that I'm not so invested in it. And looking back, it's actually sad that I let a football game that meant absolutely nothing dictate whether I was happy or not. But as I grow in the Lord, I realize there's a lot of things in life that we can't see the forest for the trees. Meaning when we're in it, we can't really see that it was a problem until you get out and you look back. And I think that's the reason it's so easy for us to pick apart other people's problems. It's so easy for us to look at our neighbor and say, oh man, they need to change that. Or if they wasn't doing that, that would be a lot easier. But sometimes when you're in it, it's hard to see. Now, real quickly, I'd just like to give two more examples that came to mind on things that could be still in your joy. The first one is social media. Don't throw anything at me, anybody. I know we bring up social media a lot, but it's one of the hugest platforms in our day and time. And I mean, so many people are on it. So I know we harp on it, and you're probably saying, hey, I love social media. I really enjoy this. This brings me a lot of joy. And the only thing I wanted us to look at is if looking at other people's lives is causing you to complain about them, causing you to put them down, or causing you to judge them, then it's keeping us from loving one another. And if it's keeping us from loving one another, it's keeping us from abiding in his love, and it is keeping us from his joy. And then the other one that I wanted to bring up was road rage. This one's funny to me. I laugh all the time. I was laughing probably when I was writing some of this stuff down, but it's so funny to me that we think that we're the only good drivers on the road and everybody else. Everybody else is bad drivers. We get mad at people for going too slow. We get mad at people for going too fast and riding our bumpers. I mean, why can't everybody just drive the speed that we want to drive all the time? I mean, it's easy. We get mad at people for cutting us off, taking our parking place, slowing us down. And tonight, I just want to give you some real simple advice. Slow down. Don't be in a hurry. And I know that's easy to say, but it's hard to do. But me and Carter were driving through Fort Payne the other day, and he looked over, was going right down through the middle of town. I had to bring my son up. That's just what preachers do. I had to include you in a story. But we were driving down through town, and he looked over and he's like, Dad, why are you going so slow? And I was like, well, if you're not in a hurry, you're not going to get mad when somebody slows you down. So, I mean, that's just simple stuff. And here's another crazy idea. And my wife, I'm not pointing these to you. I don't want you to think that. But how about we leave early for stuff? I mean, blow me down. This is crazy stuff, I know, but just hear me out a minute before y'all get all mad. We intentionally plan time in so we can let people go in front of us. I mean, that sounds Christian right there. If I've ever heard a Christian, that is Christian. How about this? We plan in time so God can use us. Man, it's hard to stop and help somebody. It's hard to pray for somebody or give a kind word if we're running late for everything, if we don't have any time. So the key to all these is we need to love one another so that we'll abide in his love and that he'll fill us with joy, because that is his promise. So anything in life that's pulling us away from loving one another, in the long run, it's going to be still in our joy. And I know this is short and sweet, and I hope you guys got something from this tonight, but I want to pray with you. But before I pray with you, I just want to give an open invitation. If joy is something that you're struggling with, or depression is something that you're fighting, I just ask you, come get with me, get with any of the pastors up here. We would absolutely love to pray for you. And it don't have to be after service tonight. It can be a month down the road. It can be 2 years down the road. But let somebody know. And I also want to assure you that you're not alone. And there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing weird about it. There's nothing to be ashamed of in asking for help. One thing that I've noticed about depression is it wants to single you out. It wants to pull you and make you think that there's something wrong with you, that there's something weird about you, and ashamed to tell anybody. So I just encourage you that. And the reason that it is like that is because we're stronger together. Amen. Guys, I'd like to pray over us tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your love and your promises. And we ask you to seal this word in our hearts. And Father, begin to show us how to live your word out in our lives. Father, help us to abide in your love and give us a heart to love others as you've loved us. And Father, we just speak against the spirit of depression and command that it has no place on your children. It has no place in this house. Father, as people come into this house, they will be set free and they'll feel the burden lifted off of them as soon as they walk through the doors. And Father, I just pray for fullness of joy, joy that goes with us as we leave tonight, joy that's with us as we wake up tomorrow morning. And not only a joy that we can feel, but a joy that others can see, that we can be a light unto the world. Father, I love you and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys.